Welcome to the Smut Hive, where each week we, Jillian and Morgan, review a romance book, drink something yummy, laugh our asses off, and rant about what we loved, what we didn't, and of course, talk about hot, smutty sex. There will be spoilers, so if you want to read it first, close now and come back later.
We would like to note that this is an explicit podcast where we may talk about many taboo topics that include explicit sex scenes, subject matter that could be sensitive to some, and filthy language.
Hi, welcome back to the Smut Hive.
Hello. Hi, Morgan.
Hey.
How are you?
Not sick.
Yay.
Yay.
Has it been like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks without deathly illness?
For me, yes. But
plagues and viruses?
My oldest has been sick, but I'm not. So.
Same.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Finally.
I like that for you.
I know.
Yeah. My poor husband was sick during Valentine's, so that sucked. My gift still arrived, so that's fun.
Well, that's all that matters, really.
It
you
does,
know?
I know, right? Yay, love.
Yeah.
I think I put something on like Facebook and Instagram and stuff, and I was just like, here's, you know, happy Valentine's Day to my Valentine of like 30 fucking years.
Yeah.
I'm like, happy love day with chocolate. And he just finally like got around to looking at his stuff, and he's like, that's so true. He's like, I just have to throw like money, pretty things, and chocolate at you, and you are a happy camper. I'm like, you're fucking lucky. You're welcome.
And you don't even need to, you could do it on any day.
Yeah. And my birthday and Valentine's Day, 1 week apart.
Yeah.
So you think I'd get screwed? I do not.
You do not.
They are separate. I love it. So it, really, this whole month of February has been all about me.
Yeah. I love that journey for you.
I love it too. And I, for my birthday, because we haven't really recorded since then, I got a new Coach bag. It's pink. It's fantabulous.
It is. It's very cute.
He did so good. And I got new golf shoes. And they're pink.
Well, if Chris hears this, way to go.
Yay.
Great job.
Good.
Fantastic.
And then my kid took me shopping. We went to outlet malls.
That's nice of him.
My son is so cute. He loves to shop. He loves to like go into Bath and Body and like smell everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all the new smells.
Love that.
New candles, new plugins, new sprays, and all the things.
So does his apartment smell good then?
His room smells good.
Got it.
He lives with, it's four boys.
Yeah.
And they've all been friends since preschool. It's so freaking cute. You think it's the cutest thing ever? You walk into their townhouse and it smells like old pizza and bong water. It is so gross. Like, I won't even pee in their bathroom.
Ew.
It's so nasty.
Ew.
It's nasty. But Jaden's room, it smells great.
Do they all share a bathroom?
There's two bathrooms. So two bedroom upstairs, two bedrooms downstairs. So they share upstairs.
Ooh.
And it is a bathtub. But I was like, little boy, never sit in this bathtub. He's like, no. So my son comes home to our house like 2 or 3 times a week just to sit in the bathtub.
Gross.
He likes baths.
Or, I mean, I don't know if this is strange, but or you could just clean it, Jaden.
They could.
The bathtub.
No.
You know,
their 20 to 22-year-old minds are like, what's cleaning? I don't know what that is.
It's called bleach in a sponge.
It needs more than bleach.
Oh.
I'm thinking hazmat suits.
Oh, God.
Yeah, these are boys.
Oh.
It stinks up in there, which is why we see our son so much.
Yeah.
So. Well, I love that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Hmm.
Anyway, so again, all about me, the month of February.
Yep.
Thanks, everyone, so much.
Mm-hmm.
I had a fantastic birthday and Valentine's Day a couple days after. And it's just been really
nice.
Great. I've been enjoying February. Mm-hmm. It's been a little weird here in Michigan because
we
got really warm. Like, on my actual birthday, I also got new golf clubs. On my actual birthday, it was 64.
Yeah.
I cannot remember a time in February where there wasn't some kind of ice storm that occurred on my birthday. So it was very cool. We went to the golf range and actually got to take my golf clubs on my birthday. And that's been strange. And then, like, a couple days later, we went shopping and then it was, like, snowing.
Yeah.
And it got cold and then it's a little bit warm.
Yeah.
And I think there's even, like, a 50-degree day that's happening next
week. It's, like,
it's
weird because our snow is coming in, like, bands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, blizzard city for 2 hours and then 2 hours later, it's as if it didn't snow at all.
Yeah,
it's very odd.
Everything. Wind has been really crazy around here.
It's been a weird weather February.
It really has. But according to my Farmer's Almanac, which, yes, I know it sounds weird. It's not light reading. It's not smutty in any way.
No.
However, I do plant gardens. And
so I
wanted to figure out, like, when's this bitch need to plant these cucumbers?
Right.
You know, that kind of a thing. So it's saying that we are going to have a very rainy and warm March and April, like springtime.
Hmm.
But then our summer is going to be, like, mega fucking hot. I don't know. I don't know how true it is.
Right.
I don't stalk the farmers by any means, but I just want to know when to plant my shit.
If we could not have 100-degree summer every day.
You still have a pool.
I know, but I also have softball tournaments, and those are not fun when you have to sit in 100, because there's never shade. You just fucking bake for 8 hours, and I can't go into my pool when I'm at a softball field.
I know, so I will send pictures from your pool while you're at softball, because I have code to the gate.
That's fair.
So it's just like, oh, I'm so sorry that you're in whatever fucking city 45 minutes away from us, and it's 110.
Yeah.
I'm currently in your pool. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
So I'm just making sure, like, I'll clean it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm doing all the fun things for you. I'm your official summer pool girl.
I could get on board with that.
I can clean your pool in the summer as I swim in it.
Okay.
It'll be great. Well, okay. That's my new gig.
Has everyone heard that?
Yeah.
Because she's not allowed to go back on that.
Listen, I clean pools. I don't know what it is. It's that weird thing. I get this satisfaction of, like, using the
skimmer.
That's
fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
It's weird.
Noted.
Like, and all the hair in your pool from all you and your girls and your hair.
Noted.
Yeah. We'll get it done. Okay. Anyway, with all of our crazy, we read a book.
You read a book.
I read this book. Yep. Again, we're following this new format. Yep. We're really liking it. Our number one fan, which happens to be my mommy, has just said that she loves this format. So therefore, for you, Jules, we'll keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I read Black Ties and White Lies. This is book one in the Black Tie Billionaire series by Kate Singleton. This is a fake billionaire fiance romance. Ex-boyfriend's brother.
Okay.
It's crazy, right?
Okay.
There are going to be three books in this series. And when this episode drops here on the 21st, book two comes out on the 22nd.
Okay.
So Kindle Unlimited, rush to do that. The third book is going to come out in June of this year.
Okay.
So that stats are already out there. I have not read Kat Singleton before. I will be reading her again.
I feel like I've read her once, but I don't know what it was that I read specifically.
Yeah. She's got a library.
Yeah.
But I'm really interested in this series.
Okay.
I liked the writing. I think that with as many books as we've read at this point, when you say fake fiance trope, ex-boyfriend's
you get it.
Brother,
you know what's
you
happening.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you can pretty much understand what's going to happen in this book. And that's true.
Yeah.
You can. However, the writing style is very unique.
Okay.
I was very interested in both characters. Mm-hmm. I'm really attached to both of these characters.
Okay.
And I think the next book is actually going to be based off one of the main characters' best friends.
Okay.
Who I didn't really know if I liked in this book, but I'm like, fuck it, I'll see what you're about in the second book. Because I like the style. I like the banter. It's just as sexy as it is funny. The sex scenes in this book, though, and this man.
Okay.
He is dirty.
Okay.
He is growly.
Love it.
He is confusing, but in the most best ways.
Okay.
And I'm digging it. I'm down. I'm down for everything about this series. So I think it's just going to get better and better. So I'm excited.
I'm curious about this. I feel like because we have been doing this for a while and we have read so many books.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes when I'm looking for a book to read and it's like fake fiance, brother, a brother's best friend, I'm like, oh God, I've read this before. I've read this 10 times before.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it takes me like within the first three chapters, if I'm not like in it, I'm out.
Yeah.
I need something to like keep my attention at this point.
Yeah.
Which I think maybe is the downside of doing this for so long, because we've read it before. Like, you really got to do something that, like, catches my attention.
Yeah. I think in this particular book, it's the female character. It's dual point of view.
Yeah.
But you start out with her. And she's funny and quirky and bantery.
Okay.
Like, at work, like, right off the beginning. And so when I found myself within the first chapter giggling at her, I'm like, everything. I can already picture what's going to happen to you. But I'm down here for it.
Yeah.
And this is another thing. So this is a thing. I recently saw a bunch of TikTok crap, and I'm not going to get into the author names and all that crap, honestly, because I can't remember it. But it's that whole cancel culture thing.
Yeah.
Somebody who feels entitled to themselves to put it on TikTok that they read a book that seems like it's just like another book that they read, and we must now attack and cancel this author, and they've sent it to the other author, and this author is now saying, yeah, she took a story away from me. And okay, listen, there has not been a story in the romance smut book that hasn't been fucking told before. I'm sorry.
Right.
I don't care if you're dealing with fake fiancés or grumpy sunshines or mafia books or even reverse harems or gangster books, even like all the way back to the supernaturally stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I wrote a book that has to do with a fey prince, and so nobody else can ever do that. Okay, you didn't get it for the first time. There's been fey prince books for fucking ever. If you're writing a vampire, this vampire is probably fucking hot, probably fucking rich, been around forever.
He's an asshole.
He's a dick.
Yeah.
You think he just wants your blood, but oh no, he wants your vagina too.
Right.
Ooh, there might be love. I mean, listen.
It's the
there's
same
not
thing.
An original fucking story.
No.
We need to stop canceling people and just shut the fuck up.
Right.
Just
well, because when you up. Think, when you read billionaire fake fiance, listen, here's the deal. You either work for him, he's come across you in some way, you've done business with him, whatever. He can't get an inheritance because his grandpa needs him to be married, and he has to be married in order to get this money. So you're gonna fake being engaged, and then boop, you actually like each other, boop, you have sex, and now your engagement is real.
Yeah. Duh.
That is the plot that you expect when you see that in the title.
Yeah.
It's up to the author to make it their own original piece, but the idea in general is everywhere.
Yeah.
People need to knock it the fuck off. I don't have time for that shit. That is bad fucking juju. Get out of here.
And it's just people reading the books. Like, they just feel, because they have a little TikTok account, they feel fucking entitled to smash somebody else.
Right.
Shut the fuck up, Margot. I don't know the fuck
Karen.
I just said Margot because the chick in this book, her name was Margot. I didn't mean it that way. But seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. And it's like, oh, I read a book and it's this is a problematic author. You read a book from 1990 fucking two.
Right.
Are you serious right now? Listen, when I have a choice as a reader, as a human fucking being, my choice is that I'm picking up this book.
Right.
And if I don't like it, I'm going to stop reading this book.
Right.
It is now not my idea.
Right.
That I now need to take to TikTok and take to the socials and smash the author and identify what I hated. And I understand the irony of the fact that I am saying this as a book reviewer.
Yeah.
My platform, our platform, is we read books and we talk shit about them. But never have we ever in this podcast
disrespected
ever
someone's
said,
work.
Exactly. We've never said, we now believe that you are the worst fucking person in America because you wrote a reverse harem that I fucking hated, or you wrote a book that I didn't believe and I hated the character.
Right.
But now I need to attack you personally. I need to attack you professionally.
Right.
I need to get others to attack you too. We've not ever gotten into the authors. We're into the books. We're talking
That's
about
the
characters.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, that's the thing. They're made up characters, right? It's like when an author goes into reading a book, they know it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Every single author on the planet has to have that mentality going into releasing a book.
Right.
People are going to like it. People aren't going to like it.
Right.
But like, who are you to go on and like attack somebody for their own creative work? Like, that's, quit being bored.
Yeah.
I'm over you.
Or you're, oh, I just need to take action.
Who's got that
kind of
time?
You know what your action is? Shut the fucking book and move the fuck on. So you, I don't know how we're going to tag this, but I'm serious. If you are one of these TikTokers, come at me. We will, we will talk. I will have you on this fucking show if you need to. But tell me why you feel it is necessary for someone you've never read, and you're not an author yourself.
No.
So you've never sat down and wrote a book.
No.
You've never put your work out there for the masses to criticize, but you feel entitled to try to cancel somebody, and then you've got little fucking followers that are like, oh, let's jump on the train and be a dick to someone today. Come the fuck at me. Please.
They're bored.
Woo!
They're bored.
That is my soapbox moment for the
Love
day, because
it.
My morning round of TikToks this morning pissed me the fuck off. Shut the fuck up and move the fuck on with your goddamn day.
Yeah.
Jesus.
People are wild.
Listen, if you don't like it, shut the fucking book. There's 50 trillion other books to read. Read what you like.
Yep. Smut Hive rant.
Ugh.
Yes.
Do it.
Love it.
Okay, so anyway.
Let's talk about this.
I like this book. I like this book. I like this author who I don't know.
Right.
I've not looked up her accounts.
Right.
I think we follow her. I've not looked into her personal life. I don't care about her fucking political views.
Right.
She wrote a book that had some sex.
And it was good. Right. That's right.
Thank you, Kat Singleton.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. Point of view. Different points of view. You start out, Margot Morelli.
Mm-hmm.
This is also not a Italian mob book, by the way.
Shocker. Okay.
I know. We are in California.
Okay.
Okay. Margot works at a shitty job, but it pays her bills.
Mm-hmm.
She used to go to New York. She graduated with a graphics design. She's an artist. She likes to draw shit.
Mm-hmm.
But she ended up having to pay bills. So she works at this fucking ridiculous company that she fucking hates. Mm-hmm. No biggie. But she's starting out in the office and her friends are just talking shit. It's funny. They have really great banter. She has a great, like, our kind of personality. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, Margot. I don't really like Margot, but I don't like your name. But
right.
I can get down with this.
Okay.
I can get down with this. Okay. Anyway, so she has, like, this shitty, like, supervisor lady. And she talks shit about the supervisor, which is hilarious. But this one's like, I need you, Margot. I need you in this conference room. Oh, immediately. And Margot's like, oh, yay.
Mm-hmm.
So off she goes. Well, apparently their company, like that day, got bought the fuck out. And the new boss is in the conference room. And she's like, great. You have to pimp for this shitty job I don't want. Well, she walks in and she knows the owner of said business.
Okay.
His name is Beckham Sinclair. Beck is what we call him.
That's sexy. All right.
She knows him because about a year ago, she was in a relationship with his brother, Carter.
Oh.
For about 3 years.
Oh, shit.
Okay. The relationship with Carter went nowhere.
Uh-huh.
He cheated on her for the whole fucking 3 years that they were together. She thought she loved him, but now that she realizes what a fucking asshole he was, she's like, yeah, I didn't love him at all.
Yeah.
Just wasted 3 years of my fucking life, but, you know, whatevs. So, Beck's the older brother. She only met him once. At like the Hamptons.
In 3 years?
Yeah.
Well,
they're like, the brothers are kind of like estranged.
Oh, okay.
And Beck, the older brother, is like, Carter felt he was the golden boy.
Mm-hmm.
But Beck was the one that actually like made his money without his parents' help.
Got it.
He built a business. He's like a quadrillion fucking heir. And
so Carter's a little bitch.
Carter's a little fucking bitch because he works for daddy's company.
Got it.
So,
and Carter probably hates Beck.
Oh, they hate each other.
Okay.
Yeah, all the things. So she remembers, and you don't get a lot of this yet, but you will get the flashback to their meeting. But she's known from the very start, Beck is fucking hot.
Well, yeah.
She knew then he was fucking hot.
Okay.
She knew then he was much better than the piece of shit she was with for all that time. And she had a little bit of a crush on him, but was embarrassed about herself for
it.
But that story comes out later.
Okay.
Okay. So Beck goes... She's like, what the absolute fuck are you doing here?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I just bought your company. And she's like, why? This company sucks.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I know. He's like, but I needed to talk to you.
Yeah.
And she's like, huh? He's like, I've been calling you for a year. Like, I've left you messages. I've tried to reach out to you. She's like, yeah, I thought you were trying to help out Carter. And I don't want anything to do with Carter. He's like, at what point did you ever think I even liked my brother? And she's like, well, that's fair. She's like, but I don't want, like, I moved out here.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with Carter in any way. So she's very standoffish.
Yeah.
No matter how fucking hot he is.
Right.
Okay. And she was like, and then by the way, why? Why did you buy this company just to talk to me?
Right.
And he was like, I got some problem and you're my solution. Do tell.
So he bought the company to get her attention.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Gazillion fucking.
Okay.
Hair. Okay. All right. So here's the deal. He recently had an article that came out about him being a Playboy womanizer.
Okay.
His board of directors was like, yo, it is time for you to get hitched.
Right.
And if you're going to be a philanderer, whatever that word is.
Philanderer.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you?
A whore.
What's the, yeah, man whore. If you're going to be said man whore, then at least have a wife and kids and keep that shit on the DL.
Uh-huh.
But we don't know why. And you're kind of like, okay, you're the gazillionaire and you own this company, but your board has a fucking right in who you're picking. Like, I didn't get that part, but it was believable
in
the way that he explained it.
Okay.
And she's like, I'm really sorry about that, that's happened to you, because Margo's a good person.
Yeah.
She's like, but again, this is where you and me come in. Uh-huh. What the fuck does that have to do with me?
Right.
And why you just bought this shitty fucking company. Right. And he was like, look, you're wasting your talents designing dick pic logos for this fucking company. She's like, yeah, but I have bills. And he was like, yeah. Well, I need a fake fiance. She's like, well, you should go get one. He's like, I bought a company to get one. She's like, huh? So that's the deal.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Here's the terms of said agreement.
Okay.
She is now going to go back to New York with him.
Okay.
She is going to live in his big fucking penthouse apartment. Okay. So she doesn't have to worry about rent.
Okay.
He's going to pay all of her bills. She's going to be his personal assistant. He has one that he's had for like ever. Her name is Polly, mm-hmm. and she's an older lady, but she doesn't travel with him anymore. And he travels everywhere.
Okay.
So she's going to travel with him. She's going to bring him his fucking coffee. And she's like, yeah, I've really studied really hard to get my graphics degree. And he's like, yep, shut up and listen. She's going to do whatever he tells her to do. And, for a year, they're going to have this fake fiance type situation. And they're going to get a ring. They're going to be photographed in public in love. And after a year, she can walk away. And what she gets out of this, besides having her life supported mm-hmm. in glam world, she is going to go back to being a serious artist, because he doesn't want her wasting her fucking time anymore because she's talented. He knows the biggest dude with the biggest art dick uh-huh. in all of New York City
okay.
that she just can't imagine even breathing okay. the same air as.
Uh-huh.
It's his boy.
Okay.
I'll get you a meeting with him. Your art has to speak for itself.
Yeah.
Because he has principles.
Yeah.
But I'll get you the meeting if you do this.
Okay.
And then she's like, you're handing me my world on a platter.
Because say less.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't want to leave my girls. I don't want to leave my friends. Like, I love New York.
Right.
But I'm really weird about that. It's very weird that you're Carter's brother.
Right. Also, I don't want to leave my BFFs at this shit company.
Yes. And I don't know if this is really the right path for me to be an artist. And he was like, again, what the fuck is happening right now?
Right.
And so she's like, yeah, that's fair. So he tells her, think about it. And she was like, okay. Well, what he really meant was like, you have like a day.
Right.
And so she's kind of agreeing, but she's not really agreeing. And then she's trying to talk herself out of it because mm-hmm. she is smart at the mm-hmm. end of the day. She instantly wants to jump for it though. And I appreciate that because we're not going to lie. We're not going to lie to ourselves.
Right.
This is an offer anybody would want to take
right.
because he's fucking hot.
Right. Again, say less.
Yep, say less. No problem. So while she's still quote unquote thinking about it, he shows up and like goes to like her shitty supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yep, you're going to have to replace her because she's done after today. And they're like, okay. And he like loads her into the car and he makes her go back to her apartment, and he was like, pack your shit. And so she starts packing her shit while he's in her apartment looking mm-hmm. around and stuff. And she's like throwing like a ratty sweatshirt
yeah.
like on her suitcase. And he was like, first of all, none of this is coming with it.
Right.
With me, because it's all gross
right.
and old. And
I will buy you a whole
I'll buy
new
you
wardrobe.
A whole new wardrobe. And she was like, I am not Pretty Woman. I am not going to fuck you. And also, they have determined they're not fucking. They're not going to fuck. They're going to pretend they're in love and they're going to be touchy and kissy and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to cross the line.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay. So I mean, lines would have been crossed before I agreed, but whatevs.
New wardrobe again.
Yeah. New wardrobe.
Say less.
Done. Done. Let
yeah.
me tell you my sizes,
period.
My specs,
right.
everything I need.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So they get to, you know, private plane. They
mm-hmm.
fly to New York.
Yeah.
First thing the next day. He takes her to get all new clothes. They have a personal shopper.
So here's my question. At this point, so she's just like, I can't wait for Carter to realize that we're engaged.
She doesn't want to talk about Carter at all. And he has said to her, don't bring up his name to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're throwing Carter under the rug
we're
currently.
We're breezing this. Well, first of all, Carter fucking deserved it.
Well, no, but I mean like, so she's just supposed to be engaged to his brother.
So,
and not expect him to react to this
later on.
Okay.
She starts to wholeheartedly think about this because there is a situation where the parents come to light, and these are not shitty parents,
right?
Just
okay.
so that you're aware.
Yep.
These are not shitty parents. She really liked his parents and she feels horrible
okay.
for lying to his parents.
Okay.
So that's going to be a thing later.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So she, this is hilarious.
Uh-huh.
She is in like leggings and a sweatshirt.
Uh-huh.
standing outside of, like, I don't know, Waldorf, whatever the fuck that you buy expensive clothes at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, actually, never mind. I'm going to shrink back down and get all small and go back into the car, and I'm not walking in there.
Okay.
And he was just like, yeah, but you are. Uh-huh. And you don't need to worry about what other people say about you and blah, blah, blah. So he is very mean as far as he's direct. And she'll say something like self-deprecating, and he'll just be like, shut the fuck up. But she won't know which way he's coming. Are you telling me to shut the fuck up because you don't want my presence to annoy you? Or are you telling me I am beautiful and I don't need to worry about what other people have to say? It takes him a minute to come out of his shell for you to understand what direction he's going. Mm-hmm. But he's very flirty when he gets past that.
Yeah.
He's very flirty. He's very like, I will make this bitch lose control. Mm-hmm. And because you get that from his point of view, you know, and you're like, okay, I'm interested. What's all happening? So the shopping excursion was really funny. I really liked it. He's trying to pretend like he's on his phone the whole time, not really giving a fuck when she comes out in an outfit, but really he's like taking pictures of her in the outfit. And she's like, oh, should I bend over real quick just to see if I can get him to lose his shit? And he does. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so another fun thing that he does is he cooks.
Oh.
He cooks their dinners.
Oh, okay.
He likes to cook. And I'm like, me? Same. Same. I like to cook too. So he's all, I'm in the kitchen. I'm preparing this for her. And I hope she likes this. And I've made this dressing. And I've made this sauce. And I'm like, you go. You go. That's fucking hot to me.
Well,
man can cook a full course meal. I'm like, damn.
Well, most billionaire books, they have like a housekeeper and chef and shit. Like, they don't actually cook themselves. So that's new.
So he likes to cook dinner for her. And one of his rules is that they have to eat dinner together.
Okay.
I'm going to go through the trouble of making the meal.
I like
You're
going to
sit down and eat it with me.
Okay.
And he never makes anything she doesn't like. So it's really, the way it's being built up.
Yeah.
I really like it. But at the same time, she's still hilarious. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give a fuck that he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
She still pokes fun at him. And he is like this boss who's always in control and always has everybody bend to his will.
Right.
And
no one ever speaks to him out of line. And
it just cracks his shit up that she can. And he thinks she's sexy as fuck. So I love it. I love it. I love everything about it. Okay. So anyway, here we go. So I don't know. Like, it just builds.
Okay.
You know that they're like, you know, they've accidentally kiss each other and then it's like, oh holy shit, we should never do that again, and then it's pretty much like, okay,
we're doing it again
and you know, whatever, but they're not touching each other, like just a little bit here and there and comments here and there and all this kind of stuff. Well, there is a situation where they do have to travel for a business deal, and I don't remember what, Colorado or something, and then they're driving back from these offices, and they should not be because it's a blizzard.
Okay.
Right? And she's freaking the fuck out, and he's driving. And she was like, we should have stayed. And he was like, no. And so in his point of view, he's telling you the reason why they didn't stay at the house of this owner guy is because his son and the owner kept looking at Margo like they just wanted a piece.
Okay.
And Beck is like, nobody can look at her. Nobody can touch her. Like, she's fine. She just doesn't know it. What the fuck ever. So they, of course, bicker and fight and argue because that's what you want to do a stressful driving situation. Yep. Well, they get into a wreck.
Okay.
And they have to walk in a blizzard to this little fucking town, a couple miles.
Mm.
He's a gentleman, of course. He's like, takes his coat off and puts it on her. They get to this little fucking inn, and the only room that's available is the honeymoon suite.
Of course.
With everything one bed. Happens the way you think it's going to happen, you know? So that's the first time they fuck.
Okay.
Oh my God.
It's a good one.
It is so good. You know, sometimes we talk about, we skip the sex scenes because we're just like, oh my God, how many more times can this penis ram this vagina? Yay. No, I was glued. I was glued. I was rereading. I was like, you go, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was filthy.
Yeah.
But I had no idea how filthy.
Okay.
And I was like, this man could talk me into anything. This man could read an encyclopedia to me. And I would just be like, hey, here's my content. That is where it's at. And she knew it too. She's like, you know what? Fuck this. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if he's my ex's brother. He's nothing like him.
Hmm.
This is a him and me thing. We are together, and she does everything he wants her to. And he's very bossy, but he does reciprocate everything. She is drowning in pleasure.
Okay.
It was so good.
Okay.
We need to take a break.
Okay.
You need to put a small break.
Just a small one.
Hey, Smut Hive listeners. Just a quick reminder, don't forget to go onto our TikTok and Instagram page, like, follow, do all the fun things. We also have a link in our Instagram bio that takes you to Spotify and Apple. Leave us a review. Okay, we're back.
Yeah. Okay, so we've now had sex.
Right.
Right. And this is where, again, predictable.
Yeah.
Is it still a deal? Is it still not a deal?
Right.
In his head, pretty much if she would just shut the fuck up and stop being a woman and have all the crazy in our brains that we do, she would hear the words that he's saying to her.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is that we are not about to leave this motherfucking place and go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are now all about it. Because I am not, never going to not touch this vagina.
Right.
And it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And in her head, it's like, okay, well, we can fuck, I guess, for the year, and then it's over. Well, it's never going to be over.
Oh,
so
God.
Just figure it out and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But that's where we are, okay? So, of course, they get back to, like, the apartment in New York, and then, like, she has a separate bedroom, and he was like, you might as well just bring your shit because you're never not going to be in this bedroom. And then they do what they do.
Yeah.
He's so sweet. But at the same time, he is still his boss man self. But here begins the work fuck.
Right.
Like, you know? And so it's like teasing each other at work and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also now in comes Carter. Because you knew.
Of course.
There has to be the money wrench, right?
Yeah.
So this is just from Beck's point of view. So Carter reaches out to Beck and says something along the lines of, I hear that you have a new secretary. And he's like, well, actually assistant, but whatever. And he was like, yep, it is Margot. And Carter's like, well, don't you think that's a little weird? And Beck's like, no. And Carter's like, well, I'm trying to get her back. And Beck's like, oh, well, have you been speaking to her? And he was like, no, but it won't take much. Like, you can tell Carter's just still going to be a douche, right? So, and Beck is like, yeah, good fucking luck. You know, he knows that she doesn't want anything to do with him. So they let that go for a minute. Well, here's the, what Beck has always told her from the beginning of the quote unquote deal is that she was going to be his assistant for like a month. They were going to get flirty and then they were going to go public,
right?
Like being engaged, whirlwind, whatever. So he slips the ring on her finger and I think they fuck.
Yeah.
And then he slips the ring on her finger and she doesn't know. She just thinks it's a big rock, but it actually is his grandmother's ring.
Uh-huh.
And his grandmother told both the boys when they were little, like, I was so in love with your grandfather that I'm leaving this for you guys. And when whoever finds the woman of their dreams, this is what you get. So we know this.
Yeah.
And she just thinks it's a big ass rock because he's rich, you know?
Yeah.
So he tells her, I'm just going to give this to you. You knew you were going to be my fiance, quote unquote, but I don't want to do like a big proposal type thing because the next, you know, the man that does it for you for real, I don't want to take anything away from
him. That's annoying. I'm annoyed.
Yep. So he does it too, because he's starting to feel a little bit like, I'm going to be able to have her for a year, but she's probably going to move on to bigger and better things. And I'm just like, why are you not thinking you are the biggest, bestest fucking thing? Because she's worshiping your dick at this point.
Okay. Right.
So there's a little bit of that, like back and forth. And then the deal is that they tell the parents. So and then this is where she's like, oh, my God, like, I really liked your parents. He's like, my parents really liked you, too. And we're just mad at Carter for a long time because you were a great girl and he was a dick.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, how do we explain this? And he's like, first of all, we're grown.
Yeah.
So we can do whatever we want. My parents will always support us.
Yeah.
And they don't. She's like, but they're going to think that I'm this gold digger. And he's like, but why? You've never been that person. Even when we were all rich and you've been around us, you weren't. Nobody gave a fuck, you know? So, of course, the parents don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But Carter comes.
Of course.
And then he makes a big old scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mad because he didn't realize not only he was telling his brother, I'm going to get her back, so don't fuck around. And Beck wasn't telling him the truth about anything.
Yeah.
So he shows up. They're hand in hand with a big old rock on her finger.
And a rock he recognizes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carter loses his shit. And he was just like, you're a fucking whore. And so Beck, like, wants to deck his ass.
Yeah.
It's
does he say, does Carter say anything about the ring?
No. Not
okay.
Yet. Yep. Not a thing. So they understand Carter's never going to approve, but they just don't care.
Yeah.
But the parents do. The parents approve.
Right.
The parents have treated her with respect. They tell her she's amazing, how great it is that her and Beck were able to stay friends, you know, all these things. So here's where you learn a little bit about the meeting, quote unquote, that they had when she was with Carter.
Okay.
So her relationship with Carter, apparently he had not really had sex with her in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when they were in their early 20s. You know, you're like, well, the fuck?
Yeah.
Lamppost.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Well, it's because he was fucking everybody else. He didn't have time to fuck her.
Yeah.
So they're at this, you know, family trip in the Hamptons or wherever. And she thought her and Carter were going to get down because he would tell her, like, hey, I'll fuck you. And she was like, yay. And then he doesn't. He, like, figured mm-hmm. her a little bit. She didn't even get off. He rolled over and went to sleep. Mm-hmm. She's like, great. So she grabs her art shit, sneaks out of the house in the middle of the night, walks down to the beach, and is sketching by moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
Her deal, this is very interesting in her character. She likes to see people, like, people watch. And she does this from, like, on park benches and shit like that. And she will sketch you, but she creates a story. She doesn't know who you are.
Yeah.
But she creates a story, and she, like, captures these things about you. Mm-hmm. And it's just the way that it's described was just amazing. Because I don't know anything about art. I don't give a fuck about art.
Right.
I'm like a paint-by-numbers kind of bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck. And but I was interested in art because of the way the author explained her passion for it. And Bette gets it. He knows what her passion is. And I was like, I like you.
Yeah.
He's supportive in all the ways. So she drew in her sketchbook, she drew a picture of Beck.
Okay.
And he's this attractive man, and she drew this thing, and she made his eyes, like, come to life because he was, like, a doll. His eyes were, like, dull and lifeless because he was just drowning in his work and his loneliness. And she, like, created this image of him with this whatever. Anyway, so, of course, he sneaks up on her and scares the shit out of her. And she's like, you've not said more than, like, 5 words to me. It's so weird that you're sitting next to me in the moonlight in the middle of the night out here while I'm sketching. He's like, you shouldn't be anywhere by yourself. Like, you need a protector. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I don't. He's like, but I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So he, of course, teases her and grabs the book and sees what she did of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, holy fuck, I fucking love it. And she's like, what? And so they have this, like, moment where she's trying to get it back from him because she's embarrassed and doesn't want him to think anything. But at the same time, she's attracted to her boyfriend's brother.
Yeah.
The brother, Beck, knows that his brother's a piece of shit, but he can't tell her. She has to find that out on her own because otherwise it wouldn't have come from a great place.
Right.
But he's trying to save her, you know? But they have this thing where they, like, push and pull to get the art book back, and she, like, falls on top of him, and they lock eyes, and it's this feeling that they both have, and you describe it from both of their points of view, and you're like, it's the zing, right? I love the zing.
Yeah.
It's the zing moment, and that happened all these years ago. And at the end of the day, they were almost going to kiss, but she stopped because she was like, I can't kiss you. I want to, but I can't kiss you because you're my boyfriend's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes back and gets in bed with Carter, and Beck leaves the next morning before she even has a chance to say anything to him. Well, he also snuck into their room and stole the picture she drew him.
I saw that one coming. Okay.
So basically, like, they've always had this attraction to each other, and he's admitting it to her. I've always been attracted to you. I just couldn't tell you about Carter. And she's like, you know what? I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
I had to find out for myself and go through it myself. She's like, so this was the best way it happened. But how strange is it that we're ending up here now?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, now is now. Like, let's do this thing kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right? So they have this engagement party. And the brother is drunk and, like, corners her and tells her, listen, there's shit you don't know. And she was like, oh, gee, what could that be?
Yeah.
And he tells her, did you see my brother talking to this really hot chick earlier?
Right.
And she, of course, did.
Yeah.
Zoom.
Yeah.
And, but when she asked Beck about this girl, he was just like, it's an old friend, no biggie. Right.
Oh, he lied.
So Carter's about to say, you would think that he's about to say, this is the chick he was fucking before he started fucking you.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It's not. Nothing like that.
Okay.
What it is this chick is a reporter.
Okay.
And the article that got written about Beck that made him a philanderer was by her. But Beck paid her to write that article.
Ooh.
And so she's like, what? Why? Why would he purposely degrade his character like that and force his board into all of this? And Carter says his board doesn't give a fuck who he's fucking. The board didn't say that to him. He made it all up just to get to you.
Eek.
So in my head, as I'm reading this, I'm just like, I don't think I'd be really pissed about it. He went through all this
drama to get me. Yeah.
Just to get me?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
She did not react that way.
She did not react that way. Well, first of all, Carter was very drunk and very grabby and tried to force himself on her. And so she had to scratch him and, like, bite his lip and stuff. And so then they get broken up and she's crying and running and she finds Beck. She doesn't confront Beck about anything Carter has told her at this point. She just doesn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. So she's like, please take me home. Please take me home. Get me away from Carter. He wants to leave her there and go beat the shit out of his brother, but he doesn't. He controls his anger to get her to safety.
Okay.
So it takes her a while though. And then she's like, we're a lie. Everything is based on a lie. You need to tell me the truth. And he tells her, listen, what Carter said was the truth, but it wasn't about getting back at Carter. Because Carter spun the story that says, do you remember when I met you? And she's like, yeah, I met you in a bar. And he was like, yeah. He's like, but my brother was with me. And she's like, no, you were by yourself. He's like, no, we were with a big group of people. I just let you think I was by myself. He's like, but my brother saw you first. But I didn't want my brother to have you. So I sent him on a journey to do something else and distracted him while I came and talked to you and you magically fell in my lap like I knew you would. So all of this is on all this shit that Beck is doing to get you. It's only to get back at me. It has nothing to do with you.
Okay.
She believes Carter.
Ew.
This is where I turned on Margot. I'm a Margot fucking fan.
Cause why would you believe
him? Why would you believe this? There is nothing that this man is putting. It's not like just his heart on his sleeve. His heart's on a fucking plate. The things he says to her, the way he looks at her, the way he makes her feel, not just the fucking, but everything.
Right.
Lets her know he has put her first. She is everything.
Right.
And although they've not spoken the love yet, you know it's there for both of them. But she's still like, you lied to me. Everything has been a lie. I can't be with you. Like, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
And he was like, if you leave me, I'll die. Like, I just can't, whatever. So she goes back to her little room. You know, she hasn't stayed in this room in months, but she's back in her little room, locks the door. The next morning she goes, like, wakes up to go get coffee, and he's at her door with, like, coffee. And he was like, I just want you to know I need to leave for a couple of days, but I want you to think while I'm gone. Please stay here. Don't leave. Stay here and think. And let's please say you'll talk to me when I get back in 3 days.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't make any promises. He's like, please.
Yeah.
So she does stay, and he goes off to New Mexico. She thinks it's a business deal, but really it isn't. It's where his brother works, and the little branch from his dad or whatever. Well, he's found out some shit about his brother. His brother, like, is a gambling addict.
Okay.
And is on all this debt with the company and all this kind of shit. And he's fucking that reporter, and that's how he got this information or whatever. Okay. And the reporter wants to blackmail back, and he's got a plan for her too.
Yeah.
But he basically tells his brother, like, you're a piece of fucking shit.
Yeah.
You've always been a piece of shit, and I'm done with you. But I'm going to punch you in the face. And he does. Yeah. He gets him a really good punch, and I love it. And he tells him, by the way, I'm going to expose all your shit unless you disappear. Just disappear from my life. I don't give a fuck about you. And don't ever come near Margot, because you will never get her.
Yeah.
So brother goes away. And then she goes through the art thing, right?
Yeah.
So she's still in New York. And she was like, what was I getting out of this deal besides clothes and money and you know, companionship and sex and all this stuff? Out of this fake fiance thing. At the end of it, she was supposed to get this meeting with his friend.
Yeah.
Right. So she decides I'm going to do this on my own.
Yeah.
So she marches over to the little office and now she's intimidated though. She's standing outside Carter's friend's art guy's office and she's looking at the building, and all of a sudden the art guy comes up and stands next to her, and he was like, what are you looking at? And she's like, I'm looking at the building. Like, it's amazing. And she starts art speaking. Right.
Yeah.
So he's of course like, I assume with that bag that you have in your hand, you're an artist too. And she's like, I am. And
he
like,
does not know who she is.
Doesn't
at this
know
point.
Who she is.
Okay.
He was like, so you probably think that you can just barge in and I'm supposed to talk to you and you're going to show me your art and I'm going to fall in love with it and all these things. And she was like, yeah, that's why I'm still standing out here, because I lost all that nerve.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I like the way you talk. I like what you're saying. I like your honesty. Yeah. He's like, so I will give you this meeting, but you cannot tell anyone that I've ever done this, because then I'll just have any random showing up. And of course, he falls in love with everything that she does. So she did it on her own.
Okay.
Okay. But as she's coming back to the apartment, and she's like, she wants to tell Beck, look what I did, look what I've done. And he's the only person she wants to tell, and he's not there. And the loneliness and the heartbreak hits her.
Okay.
Now she's like, you know what? I don't care what he did.
Yeah.
What eccentric bullshit he did as a rich fucking dude to play these weird games in order to get me. I'm here and I'm in love. And this is not fake. And this is, this is real. And so she sends him a text and says, when you do get back, I will be here and I do want to talk. So this is like day two.
Okay.
He comes back immediately.
Yeah.
On day two. Well, in the meantime, while he's flying back, she finds the one room in the whole penthouse apartment that she's never gone into that the housekeeping staff must have left open. It was an office that he had that he turned into an art room for her. And it was going to be a surprise for her. While they were fucking in Colorado, this is what was happening in their apartment. Okay. He just was waiting for the right time to surprise her with it. All the art supplies she could ever need. But in the middle of the room, on the only thing on the wall is the picture that he stole from her of him, how she sees him. She falls in love.
Well, obviously.
Again.
Yeah.
But she locks herself in that room because now creativity has sprung.
Right.
Okay. Because she's got this new gig at the art dude. Uh-huh. Right. So he comes home and she's nowhere to be found. And he is terrified that she's left. And he's manic and crazy.
Yeah.
But then he finds her in the room. And of course, she's in like one of his long dress shirts, right. Bun on top of her hair, charcoal on her face, sketching. And then she's like, hi. And he's like, hi. And then, so they talk because he's like, I'm here's the truth. I love you. All this is real for me. It was never fake for me. I'm sorry. I went about it in a crazy, eccentric rich man way. But you know, again, rich people problems, this is what we do. And you can't fault me because it was a complicated situation, but I have been in love with you since the beach 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And you needed time to heal and blah, blah, blah. And so she's like, yep, I've been in love with you since the first time that you walked in and said you bought this company just to talk to me because I wouldn't return your call. So now we love each other, blah, blah, blah. Well, what are you working on? Well, what she was doing in this sketch, because the art guy now is commissioning a piece for her, right? So she's taking a picture that she did of like her and him just talking when they were just friends, right? Just, I don't know where it was. And then the other side of it is a picture of like, she's in a chair and he's like standing over her. And then the other picture is she's in her wedding dress and he's standing over her with a wedding ring on his finger. And like, I don't know how, I mean, it's just, I know I'm not doing it justice because the way it's being described is amazing. Like, I really think Kat Singleton must be an artist in some way or know people.
Yeah.
I don't know, but she made me interested in art and I could give a fuck. So it's just beautiful. And she was like, I went and did this on my own and now my pieces are going to be here and it's all because of you and this is everything. And he was just like, you're going to marry me. And she's like, well, you know, our fake engagement. He's like, you should have known it wasn't a fake engagement. It's real. Blah, blah, blah. She's like, okay. So you decide they're going to live happily ever after, right? So we flash for a couple of months from now. She is doing her opening show.
Okay.
And of course, he got there a little bit early and he's got the flowers and the support and all the things. And she is so bummed because she was like, the piece that I did of us got bought and I wanted it to be the showcase around everything else, but I wasn't going to sell it. And art guy didn't know it and he sold it. And Beck is like, oh, that sucks. But he's the one that bought it.
Well, yeah.
So that's the thing. And so then after the show, it's all successful. Of course, she's living her best life. He fires her. You're no longer my assistant because you're about to be a famous artist. And she was like, okay. And then he does the real proposal. So what he does is they walk down the street from the art house to where all the brownstones are. And he was like, here's the deal. I love our penthouse apartment. It's amazing. It's great because it looks over the city. And she likes to fuck by looking at the city down below.
Okay,
it's
that's
a
fair.
Window thing. Yep. It's real hot.
Okay.
Happens in the office, happens in the apartment.
Yep.
You know the thing. He's like, I like fucking you in the stars, so to speak. However, I want to have babies with you. And we need a yard, I guess.
Yeah.
And wherever it is.
Yeah.
So brownstone is what it needs to be. I want to build this life, blah, blah, blah. Then he gets down on his knee and she already has the engagement ring.
Yeah.
Right. And she knows it's Graham's ring and whatever. But now he gives her the wedding band.
Okay.
He was like, think of this as a new engagement.
Yeah.
And he proposes in like the most romantic fucking way possible. And she, of course, says yes. And you're like, you guys are going to be amazing.
Right.
And they are.
Did he buy the brownstone they were staying in front of
already? Well, he wanted her to pick the one she wanted.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, all of this.
Yeah.
I will do all of this. I want this one, the biggest one. He's like, yep, that's the one I'm going to make an offer on.
Yeah.
No problem. She's like, but I also want to fuck from up high above the city. And he's like, that is what my office is for, baby girl.
Yeah.
We can still fuck up there.
Yeah.
So as long as they're still fucking, like, it's amazing.
Right.
So that's pretty much how it all ends,
okay.
Right? And then what I didn't mention was the best friends. So Emma and Winnie are the bestest friends.
Okay.
From New York to California, they come to the parties, uh-huh. they come to the engagement party, they meet him, they love him, okay. he's amazing. Like, before their, like, engagement party, even though it was real, but it wasn't real. Uh-huh.
Did they know that it wasn't real?
She was like, yeah, I know it's complicated because of Carter, and her best friends being besties are like, we're not gonna talk about Carter,
right? He's
we
stupid.
Don't talk about him, yeah. He's a douche, like, but Beck, hi, all yeah about, do you have friends? Like, when he actually asked them, I need to know the specs of you,
yeah,
your friends, all of them, because when she's getting ready for the party with her besties, he has a package delivered to her, and it's like Louis, mm-hmm. you know, and he, like, the little note, her friend read it when she wasn't supposed to, but it's basically like, after this party, I'm fucking you in these shoes and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And when he's like, yes, please.
Yeah.
I need his friends. Yeah. He's got to have friends. Yeah. So the next book is Winnie.
Okay.
And the description is a guy, but I've never heard of the guy. So okay. I don't know if he's friends with Beck or not.
Got it.
But Winnie is just like Margot at this point. She's okay. funny. But I don't know enough about her to know what her book is going to be okay. like. So normally this might be something I would pass on. Mm-hmm. But because of this author, I will read it.
Okay.
Because I know she'll make this character funny.
Yeah.
And sexy and unique and normal. Okay. Even though you're in a bazillionaire situation,
yeah.
you felt like Margot was normal.
Right.
But she also took care of her own shit.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, my mom's dying and I need to pay the hospital bills or... Right. Oh, I'm going to lose my family home. It was right. pretty much like, this is the offer. This is the art thing that you want. I will give you this, you know, fake right. fiance situation. And she's just like, you know what? What else am I going to fucking do? Let's right. do this thing, you know?
Yeah.
But she didn't, the money was not her. She liked the gifts.
Yeah.
She liked the fun things. But she did feel weird about the yeah. money.
Well, she wasn't in it for money.
Correct.
Right.
Never in it yeah. for money. I did like the fact that he did not have shitty parents.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there was a shitty kid, doesn't mean there was shitty parents.
Yeah.
I really like that. And I like Beck.
Yeah.
You didn't know where he was coming from. He could be that grumpy sunshine, but at the same time, the things that would come out of his mouth, I was like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
I need to put this book down for a minute and fan myself
right. okay.
because good fucking Lord
mm-hmm.
and creative. The sex in this book is top notch.
All right.
Absolutely worth the read. I will 5-star this, 5-dick it, whatever the fuck you want to do. This is a good book, and I can see it's going to be a good series.
All right.
But I don't give a fuck about Carter.
Right.
So I really hope book 3 is not about Carter redemption story.
Ew, no.
I'm not interested in his no. redemption story. I'm interested in reading the story that his dick was cut off.
Right. Fair.
I'm cool with that. So yeah.
All right.
That is Black Ties and White Lies by Kat Singleton.
I'm probably going to read it.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I really think you'd like it because, you know, not
yeah.
we like the banter. We like when your main female yep. character
is not annoying
and is normal.
Yeah. All right.
The only annoying thing she ever did was take Carter's side for a minute.
Right.
And it was a small minute. She needed yeah. a pause.
She needed a break.
I think she should have given Beck a little bit more reassurance because in her heart the entire time, she knew she wasn't going to leave him and she knew it wasn't all a lie.
Yeah.
But she needed to feel what she was feeling and get it out because how much Carter put her in such a shitty situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the reporter thing, the thing that happened with that is at the very end, basically Beck is giving her, that reporter, the exclusive rights to like their wedding,
oh.
which is a big New York affair
okay.
kind of a thing
yeah.
to not write the shitty story about, I hired you to do this
yeah.
so I could get this girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. That was all that happened with that. So he pretty much bought her out.
Yeah.
And she shut the fuck up.
Okay.
So yeah. Happily ever after all around.
All right.
I liked it.
All right.
Yay. Okay. So, I don't know what we're doing next week because you won't tell me.
Nope. I'm not saying.
Rude.
So you guys will just have to tune in for the secret surprise.
Fine.
Okay.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.